Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fag for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our May 13th, 2021 podcast. And that's episode number 111. And it's an ambitious one today, this episode. Big playing mistakes in gambling. And to cover this topic, we're going to run over probably three, maybe more episodes. And today we're going to cover craps and slot machines. And slot machines are coming second, and we want you to go through that carefully because it's a new strategy. It's a strategy that's going to be big, big, big. Yeah, people say don't play slot machines, but we're saying, you know what? Give this strategy a try when you do, and you may come home a big, big winner. We will talk about mistakes that people will make with slots, so be careful. This is important. Yes, how you can play slots better. You'll challenge that, some of you, but you can. You can play slots better. You can choose slot machines that you play better than most people do. And once you've chosen a slot machine, we're going to suggest that you give our Lucky 7 slot machine strategy a try. And we're going to draw from a number of sources as well as our own experiences, but we will identify those sources at the end of the podcast. So if you want to follow up and do your own research. But my goodness, there are things that are so important to talk about in gambling just in general. And, you know, whatever you do at a casino, whatever table game you play, whatever slot machine you pull or push the buttons, don't play intoxicated because there's a house edge built into every single game in a casino. And it's hard enough to deal with. Now, we're not talking about if you are of legal age and it's healthy for you, you don't have any addiction problems. We're not talking about not drinking in a casino. But we're saying to every single one, don't play intoxicated. Don't do it because it won't help you. It will hinder your success and can get you into some serious trouble. And with many table games, there are dangers, you know, just sitting down in terms of how you might affect other players. And so if we're discussing a table game where what you do affects other players, will point it out to you because there are games you can sit down at and you cannot affect other players. So that's big, you know. And so if you're a rookie to table games, that's might where you want to start, you know, in those kind of games where, yeah, it's a table game. You know, it's either a craps table or you're sitting down at a table. But what you do as a bettor will not affect anyone else at the table. And I'll call those rookie table games. And that's a place to start and maybe a place to stay. Because in many of the other table games, you know, if you do something that's not as expected, out of the ordinary, not part of, you know, a perfect strategy, you might upset some people. Maybe you don't care then. I don't care. If you don't care, you don't care. But there's issues sometimes. So we just want to say, a lot of these games have protocols, and you have to learn a protocol of how do you get chips and when do you get chips at a craps table, you know. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but we're more talking about the mistakes that you can make with slot machines and the mistakes you can make approaching a craps table. Okay, very short break, and we're right back, and we'll start with craps.
3, 2, 1.
We often use that 3-2-1 with the explosion to segue into our craps part of the podcast, and that's why I did that. And of course, thousands of you know that we have a video that was produced and directed and acted in by Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up, referred to as 3-2-1 craps, which we invented this little system. It's a way to start playing craps as a low roller from the pass line, which makes no sense if you don't understand what the pass line is. But hopefully we could talk about that a little bit. And it's had over 200,000 views since it was put on. But the first mistake that people will make about craps, you know, there's protocol mistakes. How about when you go to the table, when do you put your money down to get chips? And it's not our purpose here to review all that again, but You really can't interrupt a game that's in progress. And a game's in progress when the puck is white and on a number. Those numbers are, and there's all kind of numbers on a craps board, but the big ones, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 8, the 9, the 10, they're point numbers. And that puck is white on either side of the table. It's on the same number. Just say it was a 6. That's the point number. And you don't want to interrupt a game when that puck is white. Now, when that particular game is over and we're going into a reset, the puck is turned over to black and taken to the side on either end of the table of the numbers. And that's a time you could say, hey, is it okay to come in now for and throw down $300, $200, $400, whatever it is? Okay, and I don't want to interrupt the game, but is it okay to come in now? That might be a way to say it. Or if you're standing there with visible money, the dealer will probably ask you, do you want to come into the game now? Just put your money down in front of her, in front of him. And we suggest always, and I'm sure Janie will talk about this when she talks about slots, about with your money, you hand your player's card. Because despite what you hear, yes, you will be comped in craps, but you can't be comped unless they know who you are. So that's what that player's card does. It identifies you. So they can just ascertain by watching you what your average bet amount is, you know, and that's how you'll be comped. Okay, so let's start about the first big mistake. And I think this is a big mistake, although some of us may have started this way. You go to a craps table, you know nothing or little about the game, and you hand the dealers, when you do put your cash down for chips, $500 and say, I have $500, I don't know how to play, I need your help. I don't think you need to do that. I don't think that's a good way to start. I'm suggesting that you can learn a little bit about craps before you go to a table. And you can do that on YouTube videos, looking for craps for beginners. You can do it on the Wizard of Odds. He has some YouTube videos. Also, if you go to his website, search it out in Google, you can play craps for free there on the Wizard of Odds. That's O-D-D-S. He's a mathematician as well as a pretty good speaker. But he's one of the experts that I would say, you know, you can listen to him and believe what he says most of the time. He says some things about slot machines that my wife disagrees with, that's for sure. He says some things about playing slots in airports that we would definitely disagree with, because we have friends that won hundreds of thousands of dollars playing slots in airports, and he says never do it, you know. So little things like that, but just be aware that you need some information, I think, before you go to a craps table, because just looking at a craps table is pretty damn confusing, right? So you have to get, you know, acclimated to what a craps table looks like. So that some of these instructions will make some sense. And I want to suggest to you a nice place to start playing craps is not at a craps table, but at a bubble craps machine, once you understand the basic idea of the game, because a lot of them are $1, $2 minimums. And so, you know, for very little money, less money than you would pay in most video poker, because it's a much slower game at a bubble craps machine. I think bubble craps is a good way to start learning how to play craps. So the first mistake is just don't go and hand money and say, teach me. Because they're working a table, and they really can't teach you very much, you know. They'll take your money, and they'll set you up. But I think there's better ways to do it. And it's never really a good feeling to lose money, and you don't even know why you lost it, you know, when you're at a new game. So let's just do it a better way. All right, so you're studying the table on YouTube, or, you know, just a picture of a craps table, looking down at, and you see a pass line and a don't pass line. Okay, so we're assuming you have your chips, you used the right protocol, you didn't offend anybody, didn't hesitate, didn't slow the game down, didn't try to cash in money when the shooter had to dice. That's just terrible to do that. So, you know, you wait till a delay in the game and a new game, and you get your chips, so you're ready to go. So there's table minimums, and these minimums apply to the pass line and the don't pass line, as well as some other bets that we'll discuss later. So let's say the table minimum is $10. Okay, so I can tell you without even knowing for certain that at every table you go to, the majority of people at that table will be pass line bettors. They'll put money on the pass line instead of the don't pass line. So let's say you want to be a pass line better. So you yourself, not the dealer, you put $10, two $5 chips on the pass line. It's a new game. And the next roll is what they call a come out roll. You could be the shooter or it could be somebody else. Doesn't matter. If you're the shooter, just remember one thing. You can only touch the dice with one hand. You can't use two hands ever. You can't like shake them between your hands. And they have to hit the back wall, not on a fly necessarily, but on a bounce. But wherever you're throwing from, it has to hit the wall that's opposite where you are. Okay, so that's pretty much covers it. Setting dice is another thing, but we won't talk about that now. So on that come out roll, what you're trying to do is establish the point. Remember that phrase, you're trying to establish the point. And the possible points are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. So you want to roll one of them. Now, if you happen to roll a 7 or an 11 on the come out, you actually win $10. Whatever you have on the pass line, if you had $15, you'd win $15. If you had $25, you'd win $25. And you ended the game. It's a new game because you won. If you have throw a 2, a 3, or a 12, a 2 is normally called snake eyes and a 12 is called midnight. Ace deuce would be a 3. Then you lose. A pass line player on the come out roll, which is the first roll of a new game, throws a 2, 3, or 12. They lose. Okay. It's a new game. You still have the dice. All right, so you finally throw a point number. You know, let's say it's a 5. So the puck goes from black, they're outside the numbers on either end of the table, they're turned over to white, and they're put on the 5. And so that's the point. Okay, and so for you to win that pass line bet now, you have to roll a 5. If you don't roll a 5 and you roll other numbers, that's okay. Nothing happens. The only bet you made was the pass line. And you'll probably eventually see why you want to make other bets, because you might get into a long roll. You're not winning any money, but most of the people at the table are. But still, you're learning the game, and so you're only going to bet, you know, the pass line. Okay, so the number's 5. Now, by playing the pass line, that makes you eligible for what almost all mathematicians say is one of the best bets to make in a casino. And it's called odds behind the line. And they meaning odds behind the pass line. So here's what I'm saying to you. They will pay true odds. A 5 shouldn't pay just 1-to-1. That's what it would pay on the pass line, right? Any established point number would pay 1-to-1. So you can put money behind that pass line bet of $10. And I'm going to suggest, as you go on in craps, you'll learn all the reasons why, to play $10 behind the pass line. So you really have a $20 bet. And that might be high for you, you know, but that's what we're going to do. There aren't any $5 tables right now, so you have a $10 pass line bet. You didn't roll a 7, 11. You didn't roll a 2, 3, 12. You threw a 5. That's now the point number. And so you keep shooting the dice until you throw a 5 and win, or throw a 7. Now the 7 beats you. And for your information, there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. So the average roll numbers, you know, if you do thousands and thousands of craps games, it's usually about 8 rolls and you'll 7 out. You'll make a 7 and you'll lose. You don't want to say craps out. That crap out thing is only the first roll. A 2, 3, 12 loses. Once the point's established, you can throw a 2 5 times in a row. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt you. So don't say crap out. So if you don't make your point, you 7 out because you threw a 7. Now, I like that word pass with this metaphor. When you think of the word pass, think of that 5 as a car. Okay, so you want to pass the car. You want to get around the car and start a new game. And to do that, you need to roll a 5. And if you do, you win the car. You win the 5. Okay, so you win the pass line bet when you roll a 5. And then you also win true odds on the $10 you have behind the pass line. So it's 3-2, so By betting 10, you'll win 15. So you won $25, 10 on the pass line and 15 behind it. You're a happy guy or a happy girl. If you threw a 7 and you didn't throw a 5, you know, you throw 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 times and you didn't throw a 5, didn't throw anything else that would hurt you like a 7, but you do throw a 7, you lose. So you'd lose a $10 pass line bet and you would lose the $10 odds bet behind the pass line. So in a simplest way, if you're a pass line bettor, then that's the game of craps. Some people bet against the dice, and that means they're don't pass players. They don't want the shooter to make her point. They want the shooter to 7 out. So on the come out roll, a 7 or 11 beats those don't pass players, just the opposite of the pass line. And the don't pass line players on a come out roll, that first roll of the game, will win on a 2 or a 3. And they'll push on a 12, which means they won't win or lose. So they don't care if you throw a 2 or a 3, because you'll lose if you're a pass line player, but they'll win. All right. But once the point's established, the don't pass players, they want you to throw a 7, which means they'll win the don't pass line. So again, that's pretty much the game of craps in its simplest form, when all you're doing is just playing the pass line. But of course, what you could do is place other numbers. So you might feel you have a lucky number like 9, and you want to place a 9. The protocol is different. You have to put your money on the table between the rolls and then tell the dealer, here's $10, place it on the 9. You can't hand the money to the dealer. That's a mistake. She has to pick it up from the table. But there's some strategy behind what numbers you place, and that's what you don't know when you're a new player, probably. At a $10 table, the 4, the 5, the 9 and the 10 have to be at least $10, and 6 and 8 work in increments of $6, so they have to be at $12. So let's say you want to bet the 6 and the 8. Well, between the rolls, you put $24 or probably $25 down and say, I want to place the 6 and 8 for $12 each, and then the dealer returns the dollar. Because there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number, but then the next numbers with more ways to make then a 5 and 9 or a 4 or a 10 would be the 6 and 8. So if you're willing to place numbers, you know, mathematically the smart place bet is to place a 6 and 8. Well, then, you know, once you understand that idea, understand that the 5 and 9, there's more ways to make 5s and 9s than there are to make 4s and 10s. But, you know, when you bet the 4 and 10 on a $10 table, you win more money because the odds are not against you, but they're harder to make a 4 or 10 mathematically in terms of number of ways you can make a 4 or 10 with craps dice. Placing the 4 and 10 for $10, you would actually win $18. So you win more. It's just harder to make those numbers. A $10 bet on a 5 or a 9 pays you $14. And that $12 bet you made on a 6 and 8 pays you $14. So understand that where you place the number pays differently depending on what the number is. So we hope that you don't make the big mistakes in craps. So, you know, giving dealers $500 and saying, hey, I'm willing to lose this if you help me, you don't need to do that. That's a mistake. And trying to get chips while a shooter has a dice in their hands, that's a mistake. Wait until there's a new game, until the puck turns black, or the dealer says to you, okay, it's all right now, there's a pause in the game. Fighting a streak because you only play a system and you never change, that can be a big mistake. You need to be flexible. Hey, talking to people around you to the point where you forget where your bets are and you forget to pick up winning field bets, or 7 and you're on the come and you should get paid, you forget to pick it up, and not taking any odds behind the pass line. When you're a pass line player, don't play the pass line if you're not going to take some odds. You know, I said, I agree, full odds sometimes is too much money to put at risk, but you have to take odds on pass line bets and come bets that go to numbers. So you have to take odds behind the pass line. Hey, not quitting when you're ahead and the table run is over. You know, I can see not quitting when you're ahead and when the table stays hot, But when you sense it turning cold, you know, losses a couple quick 7-ounce, it's time to take the money and run. And playing craps with money you cannot afford to lose, so-called scared money, that's a big mistake. You know, and I mentioned before we started into craps that gambling while you're intoxicated is a never, never, never. And again, never gamble with money you simply cannot afford to lose. Big crap mistakes? Well, there's also slot machine mistakes. And we'll see if we can help you improve your strategies and enjoy playing a little more with our Lucky 7 approach and just some general things to remember when you're playing the slots. Coming right back. Hang on.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane.
Jane, I know we're doing slot machines now, and that's your thing, but you're not going to tell everybody that there's a way to win every time you go to a casino with slot machines?
Absolutely not. I mean, I can't even believe you would ask me that, because I've never said that. I have my strategies and such, like everybody else does, but as you mentioned, slot machines outnumber the other games at a typical casino, and they outnumber table games by the thousands. A mid-sized casino has 2,500 slots and maybe just 3 large craps tables. At max, each table can hold 12 players, and they might have 3 tables but only be using 2 at a time, and I've definitely seen that.
Yeah, that's another issue. Some casinos, even though they have 25 or 3,000 slots, which are always on, that, you know, even in the morning, there's nobody at the craps table. I mean, there's no crew
right,
there.
Right, right. Yeah, I've seen that happen. And the other table games are much smaller, and you don't need such a crowd to play, but you have 4 people working the craps table. So it's very clear that casinos make a lot of their money from slot machines. Now, there is a way that maybe you could win a little more money or not lose as much, and that's by knowing what not to do. So here's our advice. It's good to avoid what are called branded slots. These are the slot machines that have a lower payout because they are sharing the profits with a TV show, an actor, or a movie studio. So you might see a bank of Game of Thrones slots. You love the series, so you want to play it, but be alert that if you choose that, there's a lower payout, and that machines that are not pushing actors, TV shows, or movies, or don't have to pay them, are probably going to pay you more. That's not to say they don't pay well when they do have a big payout, but just be cautious of that.
Yeah, I think there's probably people that just play branded slots, and
probably,
when you just play branded slots, that could be the mistake.
Oh, I remember when Walking Dead was so popular. I mean, you couldn't get onto one of those machines in any of the casinos I was at. I mean, I never saw anything like it.
Well, that's a good example.
Okay, then you should also pay attention to slot machine promotions. If you're considering what day to go to a casino, then you should check to see what day the casino gives you more points for playing. Say 5 times or even 10 times points, which I've been a recipient of 10 times points a lot of times. These kinds of days are generally the weekdays, and that might be better because actually there's more slots available to play, and most casinos have fewer players on weekdays as compared to weekends.
So these points are the points that you can convert to what?
Well, you can convert them to cash if you want to buy food or you want to buy something in the retail shop they might have. But you have to be a member of their rewards program to get these points. And that's where you get the little card that you stick into the slot machine. And then when you do stick it in there, you can pull up how many points you might have or what you do have and what it's worth. And if you get free play, it's on there, and you can find that out, and you can put it on the machine.
So you're going to get free play if you have a card at least, and then you might earn some cash points too. But so I guess what you're saying is it's a big mistake to just play slots without a rewards card.
Well, I think it is. And if you remember, I don't know how many years ago now that was, when you and I first, well, probably back in the 80s, even up to 2000, we refused to get cards. And But at the time, there was only gaming in Las Vegas. You couldn't game everywhere else. But once it started, the other casinos started opening, and they all had their rewards programs. And we thought, well, that's pretty stupid not to do it.
Yeah, that just shows you we didn't know everything when we started.
We didn't know very much at all. And it is nicer when you go on days when there are fewer people playing the slots. We just went on Mother's Day because we wanted to go to a Mother's Day brunch, and who has those more than the casinos? It wasn't a buffet brunch, but it was nice, and it was special. And we did decide to stay at the casino for a little while, but I couldn't get into any of the machines that I wanted because a lot of people had taken their mothers to casinos for Mother's Day. It was so obvious. They were having little parties at the restaurant, at the brunch, giving their mothers gifts, and then, you know, whole families were there. But so that meant it was just longer to get into a machine you might want.
Well, the other thing, too, you know, the Western Pennsylvania has a couple of big casinos, the Rivers in downtown near the stadiums, and also the Meadows, which is closer to the airport. And we were at the Meadows, and the temperature checks were gone.
Right.
A lot of the plexiglass. There were no plexiglass at the craps tables. Mm-hmm. There were more players permitted. And I'm sure that this slot area is loosening up, too, and I think that makes it more attractive.
It really is. I mean, I can remember the days where we went, and there were hardly any people there.
Yeah, you could go on a Saturday night and the place was half empty.
Oh, yeah. You could get any machine you wanted just about.
I think that's all gone.
Those days are over again, which is good. And they have kept partitions up. The plexiglass is still up in between slot machines. It's everywhere still. Okay, then the other suggestion we have is that you should read the rules on the machine before you put your money in it.
Okay, so why is that important?
Well, because, you know, you'll see in the big print and the promotion on the machine that this has a progressive jackpot, you know, of maybe $117,000, for example. But it says in the small print you must put the maximum bet in to achieve that. Now, there are machines that you don't have to put in the maximum bet, and it will say random progressive.
So in some of those kind of machines, for 50 cents, say, you could win $100,000,
right, you could,
without putting $250 in, right?
Right.
And it doesn't increase your chances by paying more money to play, so why do it?
Right, and most machines will tell you. It'll say your chances will be increased with the higher bet that you have. Now, if you do read the rules, it brings up another suggestion that we have. You will play slower. It's just a good idea to play slower. It's so easy when you're at a slot machine to play so rapidly. I mean, you could, if you have a budget to gamble with, you could blow it all in 15 minutes, I swear.
I've seen the slot tournaments you play in, and people just pound the machines like maniacs.
Well,
but you shouldn't do that at a regular.
Right,
you know,
the slot tournament is different.
That's
the objective
different.
There is to play as fast as you can and accrue as many points as you can. And yes, I have played in some slot tournaments, and those are fun. I might bring those up because you might have an entry fee, one entry fee. Sometimes they're free, and there's prizes. So they can be a lot of fun, but you realize how fast. I think, wow, I thought I played fast until I sat down with this crew.
And I think you're hurting yourself if you play fast when you're by yourself. You know, take your time, relax. You know, don't rush through everything. That's going to bring us into one of our suggestions for a way to maybe have more success with a slot machine, but I'll let you get into that.
Okay, well, how long will you sit at a slot machine without it paying you anything? You know, no bonus, no five of a kind, just no perks there. I don't know how long. Some people will sit there for a long time. I can't do that. I'm too impatient.
Well, here's the thing. We think that you have to evaluate where you are with this machine that you're playing, and we want you to do that. Every seven cranks, every seven spins, we want you to think, boy, should I go another seven? Now, I know some of you, you're thinking, I get seven spins done in, you know, 15 seconds. Well, that's the problem. We want you to slow down, go 7 spins, and then think about whether you should go again. You have any ways to explain that a little better than I could?
Well, yes. I think 7 could be a little short for some people. They really don't. They want to play a little longer, and I think in some machines you probably should.
But we didn't say to stop.
No,
after
we
7.
Didn't say to stop. The idea here is, and this is the coach's invention, and he's talked me into it more and more, but I keep extending it. But after 7 spins, if you haven't had a bonus, you haven't had free spins, you haven't hit 5 of a kind, you haven't had any perk at all, nothing, no activity, then reevaluate. Do you really want to stick with that machine or not? Have you had luck in the past with that machine? If you think you should go on, then I'd do another 7. And then if you have had 14 spins and nothing is happening,
not even a teeny hit at all.
Yeah, nothing, you know. I think that's time to reconsider. And I've been guilty of sitting there myself, you know, and then I'll say, gee, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to sit there? And I'll just say, for an example, on Sunday when we were at the casino, and I sat down at a machine. It was a bank of 3. And I sat down between 2 people. It was the only free machine there. I had really wanted one of the M machines, but I got the middle. The lady to my left was playing the two times the bet. The second bet was $1.36. The minimum was, I think, 86 cents. And then the higher one was, or it was, six, no, it was 68 cents, and then it went to $1.36. She was playing $1.36, and she had $176 in credits. And the ladies, there were 2 ladies to my right playing the same machine and taking turns with it. And they were not getting anything, no hits, nothing. And the lady to my left was getting hits. She'd get a little hit every once in a while. And she was keeping her money up there over $100 for the longest time. Well, I sit down, though. I sit down, I put my money in. The first spin I had was free spins. So I think I got like 15 free spins. And so I did well with that. And then I was doing very well. I kept getting hits. Every couple spins, I was getting something. And then I went up from 68 cents to the $1.36. And the first spin on that one, I got the big bonus. I got that, and I think I got $145 just on that. But the lady beside me, I watched her as I sat there winning, and she went down to nothing and had to put more money in.
Well, I think this is relatively true. Maybe it's not true in every instance. That's why I said relatively. But if you decide to leave after 14 spins and you go to another machine, and those first 7 spins rot at Rocky Gap, the biggest one I ever had on a slot machine occurred like after 3 spins. And how many people have had success, you know, in the first 10 spins, in the first 12 spins, and then the machine goes cold? And that's why I'm saying, go 7 at a time. If it gives you something, yeah, go another 7, but then reevaluate. And the truth of it is, by moving around the casino, you're playing slower, but also it gives you a chance to find a machine that's really rocking. Like, why spend an hour and a half with a machine that's just taking your money? You know, there's 3,000, 2,500 slots in the casino, in these medium-sized casinos. So when you're moving around and trying machines, maybe not all branded ones, you know, maybe ones that don't even look that inviting, I think your possibility of success is greatly enhanced.
Okay, but this is going to bring up a couple points. As I said about a crowded casino, and of course, I told you Mother's Day, it was crowded at the Meadows. And I don't think on a day like that, when you can't get to the machine you might want, and it's difficult to find open machines, I think 7 isn't enough. You need to stay longer because you just can't move around so much.
I think you could even say on those kind of days, you might have to abandon the whole idea. You know, I know somebody said at New Year's Eve, if you left your machine to go to the bathroom, there was a chance you wouldn't get it back.
Right. Yeah, we all know how that works.
But I'm just talking about when there's a lot of machines open, I think this lucky 7 at a time strategy is the way to go. I really do. I hope you agree with me.
Well, I'd really like to hear from some of our listeners on that. Like, what is their strategy? Do they have a slot strategy?
Well, they can always call us at our call-in number is a voicemail. It's 519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. That is a 24/7 voicemail. And, you know, if you want to talk about your strategy and how you do it?
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it too.
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Well, I do want to bring this up before we end today. One of the mathematical gurus that people admire, I admire him, is his stage name, his podcast name, his video name, his website name is The Wizard of Odds, ODDS. And he says, don't play slot machines in airports ever. And actually, you shouldn't even play slot machines anywhere. And see, even someone that's mathematically, you know, gifted.
Gifted, yes.
We know a family that only lives 20 miles from us that won almost $500,000 at the
McCarran Airport.
So tell them never to play at an airport.
Right. The son, who was in his early 20s, was with some friends. First time in Vegas, got off the plane and was waiting for somebody. Went and played a slot machine and won almost $500,000. And so he called his parents and said, hey, you have to stop what you're doing, take off, and come out here to Vegas because I just won this money. Well, that's how slot machines are. We have heard of several other big wins at the airport. So that just goes to show that there are no hard and fast always works rules with slot machines.
Well, here's something that always works at Casinos USA. Every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, every day is Saturday.